The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2013 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2013. If you have purchased this audio CD, you are free to make multiple copies of it for your own or your school's use. You may not sell copies of this audio or post it on the internet. To find out more about ACCS, or to order additional conference talks, visit our website at accsedu.org. Look for the Conferences tab. Thank you for your support of ACCS.
I am not Wendy Phillips, as in your folder it says I'm Wendy Phillips. I'm not her. She is my wonderful colleague, but her father just suffered a series of debilitating strokes, and she's his primary caregiver right now. So I am Kenwin Trotter, and I am the Dean of Students at the school where Wendy teaches, Trinitas Christian School. I've had the honor to work with her for 8 years and to train Wendy, and so I'm standing in her stead today. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time that we have together, and I pray that it will be profitable for these sweet friends and for your kingdom. Give us wisdom and discernment, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So we're talking this afternoon about preparing new teachers for success. Coming alongside a new teacher can mean the difference between sheer survival and sure success. It can also ensure that the culture and mission of your school is consistently maintained from teacher to teacher. So, first off, let's decide between survival mode, which some of you may have experienced, or a success strategy. Let's give you some biblical reasons. Let's be reminded of biblical reasons for choosing success. And the first would be Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. How about Thessalonians 4:5? Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you're doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So to start with, you and I have to be convinced that coming alongside a new teacher is worth your time investment and your self-sacrifice. Obviously, I'm here today to contend that it is well worth it, that it's worth your trouble, that it's worth the tears, it's worth the effort, whether you're an administrator, if you're a lead teacher, or if you're just a seasoned veteran who knows what it was like to be a first-year teacher. It is worth the trouble, and it's worth the trouble in your school. Choose whether to throw a new teacher in and wish her good luck, or ask another older teacher to take on the newest member of the family and strategically plan for success. The scary bit here is that the new teacher doesn't know what she doesn't know. Everything is new, isn't it? You think about it, the culture's new, the pedagogy's new, the curriculum's new, the parents are new, the parking procedures are new, even how to run the copy machine. Everything is new. And so we have to come alongside and choose to help. When we hire a new teacher and give her a class and then purpose to surround her with help, we set everyone up for success, including the school family. So let's purpose to trust the biblical buddy system, to trust God's design in putting us in community in order to sharpen one another. It's the best practice. It's not just this pie in the sky, oh, this is a great thing, but it's impractical. It can't work in my busy life. I'm too busy. No, it's what I must trust. It's what I must obey. God rescued me from solidarity and put me in family, right? And so we have this sweet, solitary new teacher who needs to be brought into the family of teachers at your school. Remember Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As Christians, we're called to change our thinking, to transform our minds about loving one another. Love looks like something. Love does something. Love has actions and purpose, not this kind little phrase, oh, I know, I was a first-year teacher once. It's all a blur. Good luck. Well, that's just not helpful. We have to transform our thinking here and present ourselves to God in service to our fellow teachers. We have to get out of our comfort zones and offer to mentor this newbie. 1 John 3:14, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. By this we know love because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? We're called to love visibly, right? To open our hearts and supply the needs of our fellow teachers, to build one another up, to encourage one another, to bear one another's burdens. So, find a new teacher to mentor, whether it's a brand new hire, new to another grade teacher, or a second year able to hear instructor. If you're a new teacher and you're here, this is a call to you to go and seek a mentor, to find someone who can help you. Even if it's not assigned or official, find someone who can help you. Trust and obey. Trust the Lord and obey his design for strength and his design for building up the body and the brethren. So, building up the new teacher, let me talk to the new teachers who are here. Begin at the beginning. In other words, don't wait to learn until your school has teacher training. All right? If you've just been hired and you're here at the convention, bravo. Well done. It's a good start. While you're here now, get your calendar out, get a mentor, and say, when can we meet? Can we meet next week? Can we get that on the calendar? I need to get started on this learning process. Jump in. Meet with the other teachers at your school as soon as the contract is signed. Second, treat this classically. Go after knowledge. Get the facts. Ask the questions. Decide firmly, ignorance is not bliss. Role play at home so that you can know some things you don't know and that you need to ask about. And that way you'll know which questions to ask. Bug your mentor. Pester them. Pepper them with questions. Now to you mentors, same things. Begin at the beginning. Treat this classically. Go after knowledge. Get the facts for your new friend. On behalf of this teacher, go and meet with the teacher that you worked with in that grade the year before and ask her, what does the new teacher need to know about your class? Give the new teacher the grammar, the logic, and the rhetoric of the job. Here's what you've been hired to teach. You've been hired to teach sixth grade. Why do we teach Shirley grammar? Let me tell you why. And here I'm going to show you how to do it effectively. Decide that ignorance is not bliss. It's never good for the mission of your school, nor is it good for the community, the school community. Remember, everything is new to the new teacher. Have compassion and try to think of that from her perspective. Woo, this is all, everything's new. Be prepared to say things 100 times. There's so much to learn. Just as the Lord patiently reminds us again and again in Scripture, so we need to lovingly, patiently remind new teachers. We don't care, though, because we're classical teachers and repetition is part of our framework, right? We don't mind. That's fine. We can even sing it to you. We're fine with that. To mentors, too, I would suggest that you reread Gregory's Seven Laws of Teaching, John Milton Gregory's Seven Laws of Teaching. I know that there's several vendors out there that have that for sale. And be reminded of the laws as you're teaching. And the first one is know what you're going to teach your new teacher. Know what grade she's going into, what her topics and her classes are that she'll be teaching. Make sure she wants to hear from you. Make sure she's ready to hear from you. Be discerning here of any discomfort and address it. Speak the same language. Define your terminology. Don't just say, okay, so then at 10 o'clock you take them out to recess. Well, what does recess mean to her? Define your terms. Recess at your school would look decidedly different than recess at another school. So define your terms. Number four, go from the known to the unknown. Remember, we want to take our students from the known to the unknown. The same with your new teacher. Find out what she knows so that you can take her from there to what she needs to know. Now, push her just a bit, too. Recognize when she's feeling a little overwhelmed and you need to back off because your voice is just, you know, Charlie Brown's teacher. Don't tell her everything that she needs to know about every subject the first time you meet. But push a little bit. And then require the new teacher to role play in front of you. I'm going to teach you this history lesson. Now, why don't you teach it back to me? Let's see how you do. All right, don't be afraid of doing that. That's very useful. Have her mimic some of the teaching styles that you've learned. And then the seventh law, again, have her review what you've been talking about so that you can correct any faulty thinking or any terminology that you thought you were clear on, but she heard differently. Praise her when she gets things right. All right, so we want to begin the process before the first day of school. The more you can do before the school year begins, the better, right? Find out who the new hires are. Ask if you can take them on as your student. Ask if you can be a mentor. Email, phone call, face-to-face visits. This can all happen regularly before school starts. Even if you've hired a new teacher from another state, we've boxed up curriculum and sent it to that teacher and put a note on there, call me the minute you get this. I know it's overwhelming, but you can even start long distance, but get started right away. Even during the interview process, if you have the blessing and advantage of being part of the interviewing team, this is a great place to begin mentoring. You can talk to the administration at your school and ask, listen, could I be part of all that interview? Maybe the second interview, can I come in and be part of that? If you are participating in the process, it would be wonderful to sit in there and talk to this person who's about to be hired and find out some things about her to begin with. Don't hide the expectations of the school as you're in there, nor the rigors of classical Christian education. Ask what they know about classical education. How have they educated themselves in order to come and teach at your school? And that way, that helps you to take them from the known to the unknown as well. Don't whitewash the fence. Let them know that they're being mentored because this job is tough. Don't make it sound easier than it is. Let them know this is not a 40-hour-a-week job. It's more like 50, 60, 70. Right? It's a lot of hours. So let them know right away. Find out about some classroom management ideas or styles that they've been using. Classical Christian education is fundamentally a training of the heart, right? You want to be sure this teacher is capable of that kind of heart training. Or are they just looking for a job? If they're just looking for a job, they might want to go to another Christian school. But classical education, that's a training of a heart. This is tough stuff. Can they learn about a culture of grace? That sounds interesting. So find out, too, in that interview process about their family life, their view of family, their love of family, because this will impact not only the time you have to mentor them, but also their view of mentoring and their handling the classroom and the classroom atmosphere. Is this candidate willing and teachable? Does she have a prideful spirit? And maybe you and the administrator can talk about that. Ask questions there in that interview process if the administrator allows you to. So ideally, you've been involved in the interview process, and then the administrator says, you know, I'm still interested. Yep, I am too. Could we have her perspective teach in my classroom? I'd like to see how she does. So you see her teach in your classroom. Whoo, she is a diamond in the rough. I would love to mentor her. So you can begin right here in the summer. So now use your summer wisely with this new hire. You have her come in. You say, you know what, could you come in next week or could you come in Thursday? I'd love to show you your classroom and to get you started on learning all your curriculum. So she comes in, you give her the tour of her classroom, you give her an overview of her classes that she'll be teaching, and then you sit down with her curriculum. And then, you know, you start seeing her think, ooh, she's starting to shake. You say, let's just focus. Let's just focus on one or two subjects to begin with. Let's say the Shirley grammar and the history, all right? So here's the Veritas history cards. Here's the history binder. Here's some of the key resources that you're going to need for this history. We teach off of these cards, and you give her the basic overview of the curriculum that she'll be teaching from. You may also, at this point, if she has not been able to attend ACCS with you, give her one of those lectures on a CD. I love to give them Matt Whitling's Sins in the Classroom. Why don't you start here? You'll have a lot of questions after you listen to this. And then set up a time to meet next week. All right? Why don't you read this Shirley Grammar, the introduction, read the history cards, begin reading the history binder, have a good peek at some of the resources. Let's meet again next Monday, right here in your classroom, all right? And start making a list of questions that you'd like to ask me. She comes back next week, and she says, "Woo, wow, I'm here. I have a whole list of questions." I know you will. Let me see if I can answer them for you. And then you say, you know, how about this week we really focus on all of the history cards? Let's start there. Or she may say, I'm a little overwhelmed by the history. Okay, here's literature. Let's work on literature this week. Here's your first literature title that you're going to be reading to your class. Have you ever read Misty of Chincoteague? No, you better read it. Here it is. And here's the literature guide that Veritas Press puts out, or whoever you're using. Handle one subject a week is what we've been trying to do in the summer. It's very helpful to have this plan of attack. Okay, let's try one subject a week. Let's see what we can do. And I do suggest meeting in the room from which she will be teaching so that you can actually act out the day for her. This is where they'll line up. This is what they will do in their cubby. Those sorts of things. That way she has a picture of what the typical day looks like as well. I found too that once the new teacher settles into the thought, this is her role, she's going to be the second grade teacher, or he's going to be our sixth grade teacher, once they settle into that thought, and they'll begin to focus very well on each week's homework that you've given them, and they come back and they surprise me. They'll say, I got a whole month's worth of history lectures ready. Oh, good. Well, give them to me. Let's go. All right. And then you start to see that glaze dissipating. She's doing very well, especially if you find a subject that the teacher really is enjoying. The summer is also a great time to set up a lunch with some of the other grammar school teachers or some of the logic and rhetoric teachers. We like to take our teachers up to La Hacienda, which is a little Mexican restaurant really close to our school. And I'll just call some of the teachers, could you meet us for lunch? I'd love for you to meet our new second grade teacher. This way she starts to become part of our teacher family as well. We also like to invite our new hires to something, anything that's happening in the summer that's a preseason thing, maybe a preseason soccer game. It's a great place for her to meet some of the school families and even some of her students. Our school tends to show up for athletic events, and so we'll all get together there and maybe do a cookout at the soccer field. Our administration also likes to plan summer get-togethers for our entire Board of Governors, the faculty, and all the staff and their families. We are from Florida, so we like to go to the beach. And so we'll all meet up at the beach, and we'll cook out at the beach. And this is a wonderful time for the new teacher to meet all the other, the Board of Governors and all the families, and meet them as a family unit and not just as this teacher in a classroom. So see if you can set some things up like that, because summer is a really wonderful, relaxed time to get a jump start on a soon-to-be very busy year. And it's also a good time to start becoming friends. Now, summer's winding down. It's time for formal teacher training. This is when you're trying to get everyone on the same page. So your new teacher is sufficiently challenged. I don't want to say overwhelmed anymore, because Pastor Wilson said we shouldn't be overwhelmed. So just say now she is sufficiently challenged, and she's wondering, oh, what have I gotten myself into with this classical teaching thing? This is crazy. Well, nothing we found, you know, what does Scripture say? A gift is just a lovely way to pacify the heart. So we love to put a little gift with a little note of encouragement on our new teacher's desk. Hey, welcome to the family. Welcome to the first day of school, first day of teacher training, sorry. And I'm committed to this relationship with you. I purpose to mentor you. My door's open. So there's another reminder. It's a tangible thing on her desk for that first day. Our teacher training is 3 weeks long, so there's a lot of information. But it also provides a nice amount of downtime for our teachers to be together and process the information. And so we purpose that during that teacher training time that the mentor, hey, why don't you sit beside your new teacher so that you have already a shared language and you can start clarifying for her what she's hearing in each session. There's a lot of information in teacher training, but it's also a wonderful time of togetherness. Your teacher training should include a lot of administrative details, classroom management training, pedagogical training. Make certain that you're taking your new mentee from the known to the unknown again. Have her repeat back to you what she heard in each session. What did Mr. Trotter just say in there about discipline? What did he say about a conduct slip? You know, what did you hear in there? So remember your seven laws. So let's put the pieces together, some practical applications. Assimilating the curriculum quickly. Help your friends stay on track. There's a lot to learn quickly. I like to give our new teachers a copy, an actual copy of our curriculum guide for their grade, so that they have in front of them objectives that they need to accomplish. They can do a cursory look at the curriculum guide and see, okay, so this is what I'm going to be doing in math. This is what I'm going to be doing in literature. Gives them an overview. They can be rereading that through the year as they start to, okay, I've got, you know, a week under my belt. Now let me reread that bit about literature. Okay, right. Starting to make sense now. So we like to give them a copy of the curriculum guide and objectives. Help them to do a brief curriculum overview. A grammar school teacher typically has 7 preps when you think about it, math, history, English, Bible, Latin, science, geography. So being challenged is expected. So help them to take very small steps to conquer the learning all of this. In your informal meetings, like I've said, tackle one subject a week, time permitting. If you don't find out that someone is hired until 2 weeks before school starts, then you're going to have to move much faster. But it helps them not to linger too long on one subject, but to move through it. And don't forget role playing. Role playing is very important so that she can see and you can see what she knows and what she doesn't know. One thing that I hope that you're using, it's very helpful with prioritizing and organizing. Help them walk through a brief scope and sequence for the year. We like to just encourage our teachers to use a real simple breakdown of the year. So this is almost like a year at a glance. It's the four quarters broken up, and your subjects are all over here on this side, on the left, and then there's four sets of 9 weeks. And in each box, you put down what you mean to accomplish. So if I have 140 math lessons, I need to do about 35 every 9 weeks. If I have 32 history cards, I need to do about 8 of them each 9 weeks. Now, as a mentor, I know the second quarter with Thanksgiving and Christmas, that gets a little crazy. And so when we sit down to do this, when I'll be doing this with a new teacher, I'll say, you know, in that second quarter, give yourself a little leeway there and just do 8 history cards or just do 7 history cards. And then we'll do 9 history cards for the next 9 weeks. All right. So help her to think through a brief overview of the whole year on one sheet of paper. Puts it in perspective. I don't know. Can you see this one? Okay. This is one that's already filled out, and that's the year at a glance. All right. I have some up here for you if you're interested in looking at those. But it's a good time, too, when you're doing this with a new teacher to get the school calendar out and make sure you are aware of what's coming up on the school calendar so that they can also be community-minded. Hey, you know what? We're having Dr. Grant in to speak in October. You better not plan too much for that week. Let's put your extra math lesson over here in the second 9 weeks or whatever's coming up on your school calendar. Same with feast days as you help her look. Oh, you know, if you're going to do an Egyptian feast here, you probably shouldn't do that during Christmas. You know, let's do that in the third 9 weeks. So help her to see that we're not separate entities in our classroom. No, we're a community. We're a family. And so we want to consider everybody as we make this brief outline of our year at a glance sort of thing. Tell them also what they should be focusing on. Typically, if you're in the grammar school, you need to focus on those history cards because that kind of encapsulates everything that you're teaching. If you have your history curriculum under your belt, that's going to set the tone for a lot of your other subjects. My literature comes from there. My spelling, my writing come from that historical time period. So I need to make sure that my new teacher really has her history lesson down in her head. So impress that on her. Learn the history. And another encouraging thing to tell a new teacher is, you know, that first year, your history lectures may be skeletal, and that's okay. You'll add meat to those bones through the years as you go on. But get the bones. Get a good skeleton going on there. Do as much as you can, and then be content. On the same note, don't excuse sloth in a new teacher. If she's had a bad week and has not learned the material, that's very different from learning as much as she could in a busy week, right? Encourage her to be busy and be a diligent worker, but also be loving enough to say, you know, you really didn't do enough there. Do better next week. How can I help you? Was this a bad week at home? How can I help you? What happened? We encourage teachers to use binders and notebooks. They're your friends. You know, get out those dividers. If you're going to be having a notebook you need to have a notebook for each subject. And particularly, even if you're mentoring someone, have a notebook for that person. And write down in there when you meet and what you talked about. And for the new teacher, encourage her to have a notebook for each subject and keep them in a nice, Mrs. Phillips, Wendy Phillips, in her classroom has a notebook tree almost, and she puts these notebooks in order of how what she teaches. So the first class of the day is math. So in the first folder holder section, she puts the math book, the math key, and the math overhead. The second subject of the day goes in the second slot. So the history cards, history binder, history resource text, second, third, fourth, and so on, all the way down. It's a very visible reminder of how the day is going, and it's also a way for the new teacher to walk in and not feel as overwhelmed. Okay, I can do that. I can do those seven things right there. Help the new teacher, too, to have everything she'll need for at least the first few months as you're helping her get ready in the summer and there in teacher training. What else do you need? Do you remember that you have this coming up the third week of school? Let me go get that for you from the resource closet. Also encourage her to ask for help from the entire staff as she learns different personalities. She'll encourage her to ask for help. She doesn't need to be a separate island. Establishing classroom management consistent with the school culture. Classical Christian schools focus on godly discipleship, not incentive-based behavior modification. So our goal is to reward through our relationships with our students, right? So teach your friend that. Begin the first day with genuine praise and firm instruction. Don't start with flattery. Don't start with, you know, everyone's going to get A's this year. Tell her, no, no, don't start that way. Start with genuine praise. Hey, I saw you helping a K-5 student this morning coming in, and they were having a hard morning. Who is that? Oh, that's my brother. That was really kind of you to prefer them and to love them as they were coming in here crying. Nice job. I bet you're a really kind-hearted, you know, genuine praise, not flattery. So encourage your mentee with those. Hey, don't start the year on a bad note. Start the year with genuine praise and with setting up boundaries, because we see boundaries as blessings. We don't want to be punitive or harsh, but we want to foster cultures of grace. So make sure that you're encouraging your mentee to be gracious and loving, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. Let her know that when she has strayed into legalism or that lackadaisical guidelines that are waffly, they're both ditches to avoid. Train your trainee to think through who the student should become. What do you want your students to look like? Ask her that. What do you want your students to look like? How do you propose on getting them there? Let me help you think that through. And she needs to communicate that to the children, too. For example, we want our children at school to hear our voices, no matter where they are, no matter what's taking place. So, not a loud, screaming, shouting voice. We want to hear our normal voices. And so we'll see now what that looks like is out on the playground when you want your students to come, you don't, or, hey, you just raise your hand. They should see your hand, and here they come running. How do you train this? How do you practice this? Well, in the classroom, why don't you tell them what your goal is? Hey, I want you to hear my voice when I'm not yelling. I should just use a regular voice. And so let's practice that. Just like when God calls you, I want you to hear his voice. So I want you to all be playing with puzzles, and then I'm going to be up at my desk, and you're not even going to know, and I'm just going to say, Jimmy. And Jimmy, you be listening. Johnny, everyone be listening. We're going to practice this, all right? So you help your trainee to think this through. I want these to be children who hear my voice, even in a crowded lunchroom, all right? So communicate that to the students, practice that, and then practice it throughout the days. Help your new teacher to plan every second and every motion. Two unplanned minutes in the classroom can be deadly. It's a terrible, if you don't have a plan, all of a sudden, whew, idle hands are the devil's playground. So you know that what these students know. And so you say, you know, your class knows the bones of the body by heart. Your class knows Isaiah 40 from top to bottom. You know your class knows all the skip counting math songs. Here's a list of them. So give her the list. Say, this is what they know. And all you have to do is start the first line. So when you're transitioning them from history to math, all you have to do is say, please begin reciting the bones of the body. And as they're transitioning, they're reciting the bones of the body. Or maybe if you need to go to the restroom, ask them to recite Psalm 1 and then go right into Isaiah 40. That should give you enough time to go to the restroom and get back. All right. But give her that tool so that there's no idle moment in the classroom. Now, as the year begins, get in the classroom of that new teacher every day. Every day, even if it's just 5 minutes during your planning period, but get in there, pop your head in, see what she's up to. Even if you can only have a second and just say, are you okay? Can I get you some coffee? How are your students doing? And then ask the students, are you being kind? Are you being loving? Are you helping Mrs. Stevens with her day? I hope you're loving her today. All right. Walk in there every day for the first few weeks. Then watch her as she teaches. Once she's got that first week or two under her belt, sit down there and watch her for a good solid hour. Watch her as she teaches. Watch her as she lines them up on the playground, in the hallway. How's she doing? How are the students doing on the playground? You can tell a lot about a teacher by how her children are acting on the playground and in the hallways, all right? Now, after school, then meet with her. Let me tell you how you did today when you were teaching. You did great. You remembered this, you did this, you repeated the lesson at the end, you had them repeat back to you. Bravo, well done. Hey, out on the playground at recess, your students were so kind to one another. What are you doing in the classroom to reinforce that? You're really doing well. Or you know what? Your children at the water fountain were really pushy and unkind. Here's some cues. Here's some words that you can use to help them with that. All right. Some days we found that this end of the day meeting that you have with one another will just be a quick 10-minute or 5-minute. Yippee, yeah, yeah, you're doing great. Other times it ends up being an hour-long discussion and all the other teachers come in and you have this whole chat and it's really helpful. So setting some realistic expectations here, have an open door, ask and tell policy, both of you. Be very honest with one another and be realistic about what you can and cannot accomplish. First of all, always be available. Always be available. That's one thing that if you ask our new teachers who've been with us for a year, you ask them, what was helpful to you? It was so helpful that Mrs. Phillips, whenever I would come running in and say, what do I do? Mrs. Phillips would drop everything and give me an answer. And her students would be busy because she'd turn to them and say, recite Psalm 1. And she would turn to me and she'd help me. So always be available to help your new teacher. And being realistic about what you can both accomplish, you won't catch everything the first year as a first-year teacher. For example, your mentee will not see every uniform infraction. She's too busy figuring out what her next lesson is. So you help. You go and say, hey, Johnny, you know, you got the wrong socks on. Make sure you get the right ones on tomorrow for Mrs. Stevens, okay? Yes, ma'am. All right. So help her and let her know, hey, I saw Jimmy's socks today and I got that handled. I just don't worry about that. I got that. Okay. Help her. first year will be good, second year will be better. You'll be able to dig a little deeper each year. Mrs. Phillips has a saying. My husband was telling people this in the panel discussion on Thursday. A teacher on her feet is worth two on their seats. And so that's what we require. We all have got to be up and at 'em and moving around in the classroom. You can sure see a lot of things that are going on when you're walking around that classroom. And the same with administrators. We need to be up and at 'em around the classrooms. Same with mentors. Be up, get out, get into the classroom, walk in there, walk in the bathrooms, be there. Love being tired. Love it. It's good for us. New teachers typically want to please, don't they? I mean, they're not setting out to fail at all. So when you see that your new teacher is diligently working, you'll see, too, she needs some encouragement. So be an encourager. Often it's all she can do to just do that minute. And so, remind her, hey, the Lord multiplied the loaves and the fishes. You be faithful, and God will multiply. Implementing peer evaluations. Have some objective measuring tools for evaluation. We have what is known as an informal classroom evaluation that we encourage our teachers to do on one another. And same with mentors. This is just a very quick, you walk in, you have a few things. How are the students participating? How are they interacting with the teacher and with one another? How's the teacher doing with her preparation, her knowledge, and her enthusiasm? So it's a very quick evaluation. And so we encourage our mentors to do this with the teachers, and then our teachers to do it with one another, of course, as well. We wouldn't do this the first week with a new teacher, but it definitely needs to happen a couple times a month. And so have an objective form for evaluating one another. And you won't want to list all 20 mistakes that you just saw in the classroom. Just one or two. Hey, here's one thing you're going to want to work on this week. Okay. But get that evaluation time on your calendar with your mentee as well. Say, hey, how about next Tuesday? I come in at 10 and see your grammar lesson. I'd like to see you teach that lesson. Okay, I'll be there. Get that on the calendar. And make sure that your mentee is sitting in on the classes of other teachers across the spectrum. Don't let new teachers just sit in on their time period. Like, you don't want just grammar school teachers just to sit in on other grammar school teacher classes. You want them to have a vision of where they're taking their children. So have your second grade teacher go watch your 11th grade omnibus teacher. She needs to know where her second grade children are going in a few years. And we like to ask each other to peer substitute for us. It's a great way for me to get into my other class, my other teachers' classrooms, and for them to get in and see my students as well. So being a team player. We're a Christian community, right? And Scripture says that they will know we're Christians by our love for one another. So if we stay in our own classrooms, get our chores done, at the end of the day, we really haven't lived in Christian community other than that of consisting of 8-year-olds, really. So let's make sure that the students, the families of our community will know that we're Christians by the love we're modeling for one another as teachers. I like to think of the teacher-to-teacher relationship like the husband-to-wife relationship in a home. The aroma of the home is set by the husband and wife relationship. And it's just so with the teacher-teacher or administrator-teacher relationship. So be certain you're working on modeling Christian community for your students. Be purposeful in that team player mentality. And make certain that you have an established relationship with the new teachers so they have a framework in which to place your critiques. Nothing is quite as shocking as knowing that That guy who just popped his head in is a teacher, but he just told you that you misspelled something on your whiteboard and you don't even know what he teaches. Okay, so make sure that you have a relationship with the new teachers before you begin critiquing or helping. Don't just do your duty. Couldn't you actually volunteer to teach a literature title for the new teacher? Maybe it's your favorite literature title, your favorite children's fiction. Couldn't you volunteer? Why don't you let me teach that? I would love to teach that. I have that hour free. Let me come and do that for you. I have a friend who came in and taught a whole quarter of my history cards for me when my administrative duties became too much. There was all of a sudden a lot more on my plate that year, and she came in and offered and said, let me teach this quarter of your history cards. Seriously? I mean, as much as I hated to give it up, what an amazing blessing that was to me to have her in there so that I had that hour to go do administrative duties. I've also had the pleasure of teaching an entire semester of Shirley Grammar for a new teacher who just had too much on her plate. And so I got to teach that for her. It was such a blessing to be in her classroom every day. It was good fun. So it's fun to help and it's fun to be helped. So let's get in there and do more than just our duty. One way we found to have really great team spirit, and we did it by accident, but now it's a very purposeful thing. We had two teachers who put their desks in the same classroom. So as one was teaching, the other one was working at her desk. And all of a sudden, she's like, hey, yeah, he doesn't know about those little jingles that we do over here. I'm going to get up and help him. And so now we try to put teachers' desks in one another's classrooms or put desks in the same office or just have shared space with one another, because all of a sudden we found, hey, you get to find out what the other teacher doesn't know, or you get to learn from that other teacher. There's so many wonderful things about having a desk in the same room as another teacher. So that's been a great way to have some team spirit. Get to your new trainee's activities as well. If she's doing a chitty chitty bang bang picnic, show up. If she's doing the Egyptian day, go help her with all the planning and then show up to Egyptian day. Maybe you can even dress up as Hatshepsut, which is a fun thing to do as well. Play on the playground with your new teacher's kiddos. See how they're doing. See where her students are, what they're talking about, so you can give her some discipline hints. The K-4 teacher may be doing her first cutting craft. Help her. Help her with those scissors. That's a lot of people, a lot of little hands that don't know what they're doing. Go in there and help her. Maybe you have sixth graders who go to the same time as that little first grade rowdy class. And so you set up a buddy system. Hey, my sixth grade boys and my sixth grade girls, we're going to buddy them up with your first graders and they're all going to go to the restroom together. And that way you can get coffee and everybody's okay. They're not in there, you know, doing all sorts of who knows what happens in the restroom. So, and that way that gives you a chance as well to get in with her and get a cup of coffee and give her some adult encouragement. Here's a big one. Pray with your new friend. Pray with her. Pray for her. Nothing will goad you into getting to go and check on someone like prayer for her the night before. You know, you're praying for her and you think, Lord, man, why is she on my heart so much tonight? I got to go check on her in the morning. So pray. Pray for and with one another. That you know, you want to know what's happening at that point. Maintaining a peaceful home life. Now, of course, the tricky bit here is that there's only 24 hours in one day, right? So your first priority is your family. So keep a sense of proportion and balance here. If you have a husband and children, make sure that you get an A in that first ministry and ask your husband, how am I doing? How am I doing? Am I keeping proportion here? Keep in mind that you have to have enough energy for your duties. So strive for peace and joy in your life, all the while knowing that God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. There's such a fine line there, isn't there? Between pushing yourself and knowing when to say uncle. So be careful, but do your first duties and have enough energy for that. Now, a last word. To the new teachers, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You are in an enviable position because you're in the, I have to get on my knees every day just to get in there. I have to pray. It's really scary. Yes, every day you have to realize that you're fully relying on the Lord. It's wonderful. It's an awful lot like parenting. You can't do classical Christian education without the Holy Spirit. So ask for his help. Do what you can. Ask questions. Take correction. Make certain that you are fully trusting on the Lord. And then be anxious for nothing. By prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So be encouraged. Go do your best. To the mentor, be gracious. Be kind. Don't be short-tempered or demanding. Don't be ill-natured or frustrated. Don't be patronizing either. Kindness and patience are some keys here. If there's this is a woman that you're mentoring, there will be a lot of crying, so have tissues ready. It's okay. If this is a man mentoring another man, there will be that beard tugging, those blank stares, the furrowed brow, and you know, okay, we need to stop for the day. That's enough. To borrow Mr. Whitling's phraseology, he said one year, look around the corner and see what's coming. So look around the corner and look at long-term goals here. You want this new friend around for the long haul. You want her to be your friend for life. So what can you do to ensure that this new person does not fizzle and burn out and that you don't fizzle and burn out? Keep the new teacher close to you. Do things together with the teacher group. Be community-minded and be purposeful to build community. I think it's really an amazing blessing to be a mentor when you think of the Apostle Paul and you think about his tremendous labor and travail over the saints and all those letters he wrote. He loved the people that he was training and mentoring. He loved them and prayed for them. So be humbled that God has called you to this task. So here's a summary. Three things preparing a new teacher for success. This is not a checklist. Don't we love checklists? We love that. We love our lists. But this is not a chore. This is not a checklist. This is a relationship. This is relational. So get in there and have a relationship. Number two, this is not a quick, let's get to it. Let's get to the end of the journey. No, enjoy the journey. The journey is the point. Okay? Enjoy the journey. Enjoy this traveling that you're doing with this new friend. Don't be in a hurry to get to the end, whatever the end is. And then third, this is iron sharpening iron. Be truthful. Be honest. Be prepared to be honest and truthful with one another, but that's called Christian friendship. So that's really what the kind of journey that you're on. I would recommend, Steve Wilkins has a book, Face to Face. Amazing help when you're mentoring someone. Aelred of Rivaux back in the 1100s wrote a book called Spiritual Friendship. It's a beautiful picture of what spiritual friendship should be. And then for women, there's a book called The Godly Art of Mentoring, which is very helpful as well. But thank you very much.